What is this shift?
I'm looking at the drum behind Solmark. You see that almost in Ouroboros. The lizard meeting its tail,
Yeah.
but not eating it.
Right. And lizards are about dreaming anyway. So these are all dream cards in the sky, in the heavens, I guess.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
When you were talking about the hermit, I also could hear from where you were talking about, like, I think you said, like, searching. And yet I also get just the trust and the focus to follow the light. I mean, his face is just like psh, right there. And that's a part of it. It's not just looking towards. Even though you don't know where you're going, there's a trust that you've got the right message. You're going for it. And I really like that you also said going from home to home. Yeah, we get to do that again and again and again through life. Yeah. And it's the practice. It's like, oh, now we're done with that. Now what's next? Following the calling is another way I like to say it. Where you called to go. I'm curious about the geese because I actually thought of them as a grounding factor, and yet they're flying in the sky. There's something
They
about,
are
I think maybe,
hermits too.
yeah, I think they are of this world when pretty much nothing else looks like it. Even the shells that are just the kind of shells of shells, they're just suggestive to me. I don't really, yeah, that's an amazing card. And the circle is repeated, you know, in the card of the world. And I do see the balance represented in the four positions as well. And you said we're, well, we come from spirit, we do, and yet we are spirit as well. And that's also the full circle. And that's the part that's maybe easiest to forget, that we're already spirit. And the balance of the feminine, I mean, represented not just in the feminine and the masculine, but the body representation, and even that her hand is down and his, you know, like she's got the bar, which fits with the grounding that women provide, and men holding the bar up high to keep us uplifted. And we're grounding the masculine, which is
Shall we
interesting.
begin?
Oh, I was thinking we were already.
That's what I thought too. I was like, I think someone thinks, because it
Yeah.
feels like
We
we're already
kind
going.
of did like already start, but we can
Yeah.
begin this shift officially if you
Okay.
want.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I noticed that didn't happen in the beginning,
Well,
but
and it's not like we need to introduce at the beginning every
it's
time
true.
too. We
It's
can
true.
just
Do what we
introduce
want.
whenever we're like, hey guys,
Now that you're
we've
hooked.
been talking about you.
Yeah.
We've been
We
talking to you this whole time.
drew for you. We really did for everyone.
Welcome
Yes.
to Hit the Fan.
Let's begin this shift.
Yeah,
Okay.
let's get this shift started.
Get this shift on the road.
Yeah.
Here we are. Welcome, welcome, our friends.
Ready to talk some shift. Welcome to Shift Hit the Fan, where we pull tarot cards for you and then talk about them.
Well, that's our current state of what
How
we're
we
doing
see
with this
fit.
thing.
Yeah.
That's often what occurs.
That's what's helpful for Brian. For now, we shall see how we evolve as Brian gets better, because this is a really good structure for now, so I don't have to think too much until the pictures tell me what to think.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, we have three beautiful images today. We have La Morte, death, and you want to show your card? Can you show it on there? La Morte, nice psychopomp with his scythe. We have the Hermit, a guy wandering on top of some rock pile.
Yeah.
But some beautiful imagery of shells and of light and of geese wandering home to home, giving some references to a hermit crab and how a hermit crab will move from home to home to from shell to shell. Then we have the world.
No, your card, Soma.
You have your card there?
Oh, yes. Oh, you're showing it up there.
Yeah, we're
Look.
showing it.
I was looking on my phone, so I do. Oh, it's not coming through so
Yes,
pretty, so it's
but we have
clear.
some people. Do you not have the physical card? Did you already put it
Oh.
away?
Oh, here it is. Hello. Okay. There we go.
There it
That's
is.
better.
Mucho
I
better.
mean, I could even turn this light on. That would be helpful.
Ouroboros with all four elements, as well as the man and the woman, all in one body. The male, the masculine and feminine
The two have
that
become one.
exist inside both of us, inside of all of us.
Yeah, that we are.
So I thought that these were a really beautiful combination, but I thought that these were really in line. We have a friend that we have found on social media that we have followed for a long time. Her name is Twitchy Witch, and you should totally go check her out. She's got a lot of beautiful alchemical writings and thoughts, and she studied a lot of alchemical texts. So she sent out her Substack this last, was it this last week, I think? And
Yes, this week.
she posted about this alchemical process of Nigredo and Albedo and Citrinitas and Rubedo. And I thought that these that tied beautifully into that Substack writing, where La Morte, death, is this nigredo. It's and I love, I'm gonna read a little bit of her writings here. But she says, nigredo, often translated as blackening, is the first of the four major stages in classical alchemy. It is the descent into chaos, the putrefaction of old self, the moment when everything you thought you knew begins to disintegrate. In Western alchemical language, it is sometimes called calcination, the burning of ego, illusion, and inherited structure. But this phase isn't exclusive to Western texts. It exists wherever transformation begins. The symbols of Nigredo are unmistakable: fire, night, burial, ashes, suffering, rupture, trial, and truth so raw it hurts to look at. And I love that with La Morte here, because you have this psychopomp, which in the way that I see it is this, I kind of see it as this trial or this event that happens that rips us from this old self, this old ego, this old illusion, the way of thinking, the what we've had founded our life on in a lot of ways. It rips us from that and makes us question and look at life differently. And it hurts. It's a very scary thing. And I see the scythe that is used for harvesting. And I think of harvesting the old self, of cutting it down, and so that something new can grow in its place. And then going to the hermit, which I see as this albedo, where and I'll go back to Twitchy's writing of albedo. It says, if negredo is destruction, albedo is purification. It is the washing of the ashes, the dissolving of false attachments, the return to clarity, and spirituality. Albedo is the moment when the soul, having been stripped bare, begins to soften. It surrenders not from defeat, but from trust. It accepts not because it understands everything, but because it no longer needs to. Albedo is often associated with symbols of water, milk, the moon, the womb, silver, dawn, surrender, and mercy. In some traditions, it is the baptismal phase or baptismal stage, the moment of inner cleansing after the fire has passed through. It is not yet wholeness, but it is peace. It is the white space that appears after blackening, the quenching rain after the drought. And I love this card, how it fits into that. There's all these elements of water kind of flowing through it, even though it's in the air. There's these shells that to me seem like a hermit crab, and bring out this space of, or this transition space where where the crab has left his old home and is entering a new home and is in that soft, vulnerable state. And the way that I've seen it in my own life is that when I, after going through that nigredo, I've been in that state of, I don't really know what's real. I don't know what to hold on to. I don't, where's my foundation? Where's my home? And the way I see this ego and the self is that foundation of self-definition, and we're redefining ourselves. We're refinding that inner home to call our foundation. And then, just to kind of continue with the different steps, the citharinitas, which is kind of a light, the distinguishing between like a discernment of the old and the new self. He's got this light guiding him. He's looking at the light in the sky. He has a light to help see what's in front of him. And then Solma, your card right at the end, the world, the Ouroboros, is similar to the Rubedo, that coming back to self, coming back to a whole form, gold returning back to gold. And here it feels very heavenly, where the masculine and the feminine are both part of the body. They've crossed legs so that they are sharing both sides. And then all four elements, the sword, the fire, the cups, and the pentacles, is all there, bringing us all back together on this alchemical journey. And so that's what I just, it immediately popped into my head, seeing, specifically seeing the first two cards, and then Solma came in and just completed it with her card. So yeah, what are your all's thoughts on that, and what else do you guys see?
What I saw in your card as you were talking, the hermit, I got the geese because I kept wondering about the geese, and I did see them as a grounding element because everything else is fantastical, but they actually are existing. Yeah, there you go. And I also got the timing because you're talking about it transitioning. And there are times that they go one way, and then it's time to go to the other way. So I thought that was a really cool thing to just kind of come up out of what you were describing. And then just part of what I had added about the light being in the face. The light being in our face, that we are the light. and it's the easiest thing to forget. And yet staying focused there brings us to our true self. It's just that is how I find it most effective to really, I want to say, return to who I am, which is spirit, and return not necessarily to remembering I'm spirit. I can remember it up here, but to be that all the time is the part that takes more surrender that you brought up and trust. Yep. And what I see about the and I love the correlation that you did that it happened to just go exactly with what you were reading from Twitchyverse and the Twitchy Witch. And what strikes me about La Morte is that look how you can't miss the scythe. It's like bigger than anything. That's how important it is, and how I'm going to say often it comes and is available for us to just really cut through the parts that I would say are not so evident. So maybe it takes that side really just being imprinted in the mind that don't forget. Don't forget. You can cut right through whatever you need to. And in the world, I love that you mentioned crossing the legs because that's another combination. And the other thing I saw, not only the full cup and the pentacle is just abundance anyway, and to me represents the stars that we are as well. But the flame is not only lit, but it's, I mean, it's a torch, and it is that wand is a torch that is up high and pointing upward and also guiding a guiding light. And then I kept wondering about the sword, and it's just firm. Even though it's floating in the sky, it is firmly down and in its power as well. And the unity that this card brings to all of it, I love that it's representation of the oneness of the world, because that's just like the place to send healing to the world from there. And let's see. Move it out.
So
Yeah, that's it. Go
something
ahead.
interesting that popped into my mind just now as I was thinking of the word world. My friend is very, she's very, her big thing that she's going for right now is language and re-engineering language and looking at these sounds and syllables and the letters. And so one of the things that she's pointed out to me was world, it creates a whirring sound. So you get whoa, 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 world. And so if you have one iteration of that world, it's almost it is the Ouroboros where you've come around, whoa, you've whirred. You think of a whirring sound. It's come around in a circle and then been cut off and ended with the D. So it is a complete circle with the Ouroboros. So just thought that was an interesting thought that popped in my head.
It reminds me too, the world, no, word. It's right there. You just add the L. Word creates world. That's how we create our world. Anyway, that's what you reminded me of too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got, Avra?
Interesting. I was like, where did you get this picture of me? The way that it's like
Yeah.
Just like what I've been going through, my journey into myself this week. Was it this week?
Through life.
This time.
Saturday. Saturday. So whenever that falls in the week. I love that you were talking about foundation in the hermit. But if you look at what they're standing on, that does not look very stable. So the foundation, when it's in you, you can be stable and steady anywhere. Because it's like a rock pile and then a circle rock and then another pile of rocks on top of it and shells and, all in there. And then the hermit's just standing on the very top of that. Where normally you see the hermit standing on top of a mountain. But this is like, a next level mountain. This is like stuff that you put on the top of the mountain. So it's like a whole other level of of hermit here. And the reason I thought this is me right here, what I went through Saturday is because my subconscious mind, when I saw her in the depths of my unconscious, she was
Her
wearing
being
this, her being my
your
subconscious. She was wearing that same outfit that the hermit's wearing. The flowy, all that. That's why I immediately thought this was underwater before I realized there were geese down there. Unless, there's geese underwater, but are they divers? So that's what I immediately was like, oh my gosh, that's me. That's my subconscious mind right there peeking out to remind me. And then I pull La Morte, death. And what's interesting to me about this is like you start with the hermit, which has the circle, the way it's laid out in the Discord. And there's a link to our Discord in the description. So you start with so you can see these cards if you're interested in seeing them. You start with the circle up there. You go to the death, which is half circles, moon shapes, and then you end with another circle. So it's like that. What you were reading with a twitchy, it's like that whole process right there. You're starting with one self, you're dismantling yourself completely, and then returning to a brand new self. Because the self that you start with is kind of shadowy, it, looks unstable, but it's still a really strong and steady self. And then that one dies, and then you're the new golden self. So it's like a returning to self, but a brand new self, which is the rebedo. Which it's funny that I said that I saw this thing as the rebedo before Soma even joined the call and brought in the world. And we're like, well, there it is. So
Right.
that was perfect. I love that all of these moon shapes in La Mort, in the death, from the scythe to the moon behind him, to the moon shape face that he's got, the moon posture that he's in. That's freaking awesome to me. It's like really, it's really depicting a separated yet still, whole self. Because it's like it's bones. It's all just bones. It's the structure of the self. It's the structure of the body, at least. Right. But it's still an animated body, right? So you don't lose the self in that. in
It's
that.
like the true essence of the body. It just makes me think of like how much like our face, how much our face is not bone. So much of it is fat and skin and muscle and all of this extra stuff that surrounds the skeletal bone, the skull itself, and that forms such a unique shape for each of our faces. But underneath each of our faces is a skull, a skeletal structure that is so similar to each other, and probably some variations here and there, depending on genetics and how they were formed. But don't know, that's a really cool thought that you just had.
Yeah, I'd heard somewhere, I don't remember where I read it or where I heard it, that the bones are the thing that they're the most permanent part of us. We can find 1,000-year-old burnt bones, or who knows how many thousands of years that they've been there, and they're still bones, they're still intact, they're that. Or that part of us that just doesn't disintegrate or decompose, that's what it was. And so there's, you think of maybe it was in The Women Who Run with Wolves, who talks about, or just like hearing stories about people who collect bones of animals, and once they have the entire animal, then they bring it back to life through a song or through some other whatever method that person or that being has to bring that. But it's like it's through the bones, and then there's like this bone magic, right? So there's something really magical and significant to the bone being, you're still held together intact with these, like your essence is carried in that. They can tell who you are by your bones. And those people, the people that can do that, the scientists, right? So that's really powerful to me. It's like, don't be afraid to die. Because you're just going to return to yourself in whatever form that looks like, whether it's a reborn self or a brand new life, because you've crossed over to whatever, you've left the old world, and now you're doing another thing. Go ahead.
I think this hermit that I drew is such a, like, I see it so exaggerated in my own life. I think with, you said, don't be afraid to die. And I think in a lot of ways, I killed that old self. I killed a lot of the beliefs that were holding me firm in who I was. I've told the story a few times, I think, but at one point, I just had this image, this vision of me pulling the bricks of the foundation that I was standing out on out from underneath me. And I had this question of, well, if that's my foundation, then what am I going to stand on? How am I going to exist? And then I had that I had the response was, well, why do I have to stand? What if I flew? What if I let life just carry me through life, or carry me on the wind, or on ride the currents of the river of life as it carries me through? And it comes back to this, the hermit of these geese that are transitioning from home to home, from place to place as the seasons carry them. And I don't know enough about geese and their migration, but do they ever come back to the same place, or do they, just pick a nice pond and or lake and say, this is where we're gonna settle, and this is where we're gonna lay our eggs? And But like hermit crabs, they are literally transitioning from shell to shell. What shell can we go to next? And in my own life, I felt this lack of knowing what's real. And I still have that feeling in life. Like, what the frick is real? Like, I had all these things that I solidly knew was true. What do I, now that I don't believe in those things as solidly, they don't define my life as what much, like what's the truth? What's reality? And I think coming back to that space of being okay, not knowing what concepts are completely true or what concepts are solid enough to hold on to, I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be in that hermit-like state where you can transition from through the selves and through the concepts and the ideas that people bring in front of you. Look like you're about to say something, Selma. Selma.
It's all exciting. I really get that, how important it is to question, to really be in, what is true and what is not. And it's back to our word. What do we say is true and what do we say is not? Because our word, it will create our environment and everything we want. But the part that I got from Aida too was, and it goes along with the geese a little bit, because I said the geese represent grounding, and I'm looking at how often I look at grounding, and the let's see, so what, so Aida, let me get where it was. Yes, Abra. Yes,
Abracadabra,
abracadabra.
abracadabra.
I wanted to play that song for you today. It popped into my mind,
Cool.
and I was listening to it in the car, and I was like, I need to play that for Avra.
And I think that'll help if I say abra instead of just abra. Oh, there was the groundedness of not just the geese, but the way. Let me see if it had to do. Oh my goodness, where did it go? Let's see. There was something about the way that we relate to. Ooh, might have lost it. Wow, I was just so right there with you when you were talking. I know it has to do with grounding in a whole new way. Oh, yes, the bones. We can ground ourselves through our bones. And then look how much water we are. Water's a grounding element too. So we do always have that source of grounding. And even though the spirit has that fluidity that, can disperse through the water, I've most of my life identified with the groundedness that meditation could bring me, but at the same time, I didn't have to be like, I don't know. I could be in fantasy world, I guess, is what I want to say. And I used to just really get pissed off when people talked about reality. I just like I didn't want to hear about reality because it's like, no, we get to say. And yet there came the time to where, oh, when I learned that as we get older, there's a timeline, whatever it is. I want to say mine's 115 or 120 because I have buddies now that are elevated theirs to 120. I'll have other people to be with, by the way, whoever leaves in the meantime. Because nobody in my family particularly wants to live that long, so it'd be good to have others. And so whatever the timeline is, because I don't know, I know what I created. As you get closer to the timeline, you're less connected. You're on your way. You are more connected to the intuition, to all that's available, and maybe not more than you ever were. But just like in general, humanity moves that way. So then I started practicing grounding even more. It's when I really started holding more meditations for others, because I saw, you know what? That's when I'm more grounded. If I'm the one leading the meditation, when I'm following another person's meditation, I just leave. I'm just gone. So if it's a real exercise for grounding, then I get to be the one to share it. Because then whoever is in that grounded meditation, they also have access to the level of grounding that I have available to me, which is the practice and often more deep than what is practiced. So, yeah, I just never really saw that the bones and the our wa inner waters could be as grounding as they are. And I'm excited about that. Thank you, guys. Both of
I
you.
think there's something beautiful going back to the bones and looking at this idea of this illusory state, this illusion that we're living. This soft tissue changes and transforms as we get older, as we transition through life. There are times where people will look younger, older in life because of just how
Yes.
they're living. And this is such a it's almost just an illusion, a show of what we are and what state we're in our lives.
Yes,
But the
yes.
bones hold us solid, they keep us in place. Everything else will disintegrate, but the bones will hold that structure for us as we live throughout our life. And I think thinking of grounding, something that I've noticed with my own grounding practices is that grounding is a choice. So walking barefoot on the earth, I don't honestly feel that different from whenever I'm just walking in shoes. But I can choose to ground myself into the earth or into my body or into the air. And I can feel a physiological change in that choice to sink down into what my seat, whatever's holding me up. That's where I feel a physiological change. And so that state, that choice for me, it's something that I'm playing with a lot right now. But I think that there's something big to be said about the choices that we make in our life, the choices that we are currently making, and that choice to relax and be okay in whatever state we might be in, whether it's the trial or the hermit stage, or we are in that stage of finding our self that feels good for us. And that's something that I've been playing with lately is, all right, I've made this choice. Can I accept that choice? Can I accept all the consequences that come with that choice and choose the consequences so that I'm not in conflict with them, so that I am choosing to be in alignment with the life that I'm living. And it's a beautiful thing because whenever I choose to do that, it feels better. It feels like I am not at odds with life. I am finally living life and loving life and allowing my body to be what it needs to be.
I hear the fo not the focus, but I hear that choice that could be available through a failure, and have grace with the failure to where it doesn't necessarily, it's always available to make it really a bummer and just go down that rabbit hole or revisit the past and without, well, really defaulting into the past is what I think of it more. It's not like you're voluntarily going there, you're just there. But then to recognize it and go and choose it and oh, it's a failure. And then the grace when it happens, of the choice. The choice then makes available something more than the failure, or even what was to be learned from that failure. Then it's just a little more, I don't know, I want to say expedited, not like we're in a hurry, but it's more like the flow gets to continue. How quickly do we shift from the failure to the acceptance to the grace to the flow? Yeah.
I think these cards are a beautiful, beautiful showing of the name of our podcast, The Shift. Shift hit the fan. Shifting from the old self into the new self, going through these alchemical stages of the trials, the taking away the old self and sitting in that place of the unknown and redefining a self. And honestly, I don't like, from what I have come to understand, I don't believe that we can get rid of self. And we have all these ego death type things, and we can kill the old self, but we're just going to move into a new self, a new concept and definition of who we are. And can we do so, as you were saying, with that grace, with that element of it's okay to be something new, be something different. And it's okay that we had an old past. And just like the scythe, we harvest the old self, we harvest the old, and that is still a part of us. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the current state of being that we're in. And I think there's beauty to that.
I think that's the point, that it isn't the state that we're in now, and the only thing really about the past, it's not, I don't know that it's killing ourselves, but it's killing off that. It is the recognition that is the past, that's not now. Kill that off and be here now. What's available now, what we say, what we can have it be, what we are available to be without that. Because so familiar what's available once the default is available. I mean, happens. That's actually predictable and familiar. Maybe that is part of what's comfortable, is that it is predictable and familiar. And we're like, but I'm going this way. How come I just went the other way? Yeah. So the grace of all of them. I don't know how clear that was, but I'm very familiar with it at this point. And you're right. It's not like it's not ever going to be. It's that call to be in the moment. That's it. It's like the very reason to be in the moment because of what's available from being there. And yeah, that's why even, engaging in these conversations is like so important to have, just as humans, just as sharing. And reminders. I always think of them as reminders, not just for us.
I've been thinking about that too, like how to explain what it is that's happening. Because I was just in this conversation last night with Twitchy, and I'm trying to explain what I'm doing, because people get worried about me giving my energy to certain people, and thinking that I'm trying to heal everybody. But I'm like, it's not that I'm directly trying to heal people or fix anything or giving my energy to these people. I'm giving my attention to my perspective of them. So what's being healed is my perspective. You know, because when I change my perspective, that people li only live in my view of them, my perspective of them. They only exist for me. That perspective comes from me. It doesn't matter if I have other agreement or whatever. That perspective is coming specifically from me. Just like how they're perceiving me in a way that it isn't what I think is going on, right? So even my own perspective comes from me. So I'm like, it's more of a healing or a shifting of my perspective than a healing of the person out there. Because when I try to help somebody heal, I'm not healing them. I'm not, you know, blasting. I may outwardly be doing that, like sending the energy or whatever, because you can feel that, right? But the healing is happening in here. I'm changing my perspective about how broken I see a person. If I have a problem with it, the problem is in here, not out there, right? So it that I think that's what the ego deaths are about, is it's my ego, it's my perspective, it's my view of a situation that needs to shift, and that's perceived as a death. I need to inspect it. I need to see what I got the vision of a, you know, wolves. This also came to me in one of my visions, is, you know, like a me trying to help somebody out there, but there's, you know, because there's a pack of wolves out there, but instead of going after her, they come after me, and they come, you know, snarling and everything. But I'm so calm. I know this is my shadow. They come to me, and I just grab their face, like, just to hold their mouth open so that they see that I'm not going to hurt them, but I'm also not going to let them hurt me. And I want to see, you know, I'm inspecting them, like, what, you know, how sharp are these teeth? Like, what's going on? All this stuff. It's not like I'm taming them, but I'm letting them know they're gonna continue to exist. They're perfect the way they are. I'm also not gonna let myself be hurt. And this is the way that I'm perceiving people as well. If I have an issue with you, it's my issue to resolve. And usually when I change that within me, it changes outside. It helps them heal what the problem that I thought I'm just healing myself and whatever issue I have, because they're no longer going to show up that way for me. And they're also going to have that freedom. I'm not sending energy to whatever funkiness they have that has them be weird around me. And then that's going to translate to how they show up in the rest of the world. You know, that's. I see it all the time at home. Like when I stop calling my housemates certain things, whatever if I'm complaining, it's from a lack that I have here, right? Feeling abandoned or whatever. That means they're not showing up. That means they're taking. That means they're selfish. That means all this stuff, right? But it's not really who they are. That's just because I lack, I need, and I think I need to get it from the people immediately around me, right? So my perspective is not focused on the where I can actually get it from, which is the universe, life itself, energy. I can be more resourceful. I can have other things show up through other sources. It doesn't have to be. They don't have to be a problem just because I have a problem, right? I think that's what that is.
I like that you point, well, for me, I also hear that you're representing healing in a way that it actually occurs as a healer. You're a vessel, it's coming through you, and so of course you're receiving healing. You do get to send it, you do get to direct it, but you're allowing it to move from you. You are, it is, it's sending, it's directing, you're allowing that flow. Because you've accepted that part of you. We all have that available to us, and yet we get to be ones to practice it and demonstrate or display whatever it is that it's possible, period, that it's possible. And not everybody relates to it as possible for them, so that's okay. But again, it's that ownership. Yes, whatever needs to be healed, whatever our view is. This last Sunday, I kept getting evidence in my life that whatever I was saying wasn't being understood. I mean, it was like, and it would end it up in me just like trying to be like clearing it up, clearing it up, clearing. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. This has happened like, probably four times by the time I started really getting it. Once just even getting a seat, like I at breakfast. And I changed like three times. It was just at the counter, so it wasn't like a huge inconvenience for them. They were cleaning the counter. But it was like there was not certainty within me. And then at the grocery store with the woman that decided she wanted the motor cart that I was in, but I wasn't quite finished. And I just really saw from our interaction that I was committed to, I was going to take it and take my groceries and I would bring it back. But she couldn't hear that. And so when I went to get the key from inside the store, she sat in the motor cart with my groceries. So I'm like, what's going on here? And so I explained to her like a couple of times. She escorted me to the car, it worked out. But there was one more time after that, and then I was like, okay, probably a couple more. And I was like, okay, then I start looking at what is going on in the stars, because I am just like, really seeing this again and again. I think I'm communicating, and it's just like not happening. So then I just went and meditated. It was like nothing else is working out here. So let's go get calmed down. And the rest of the day was fine because I didn't, I just, whatever was going on stopped happening that way. And I didn't have to get to the source of how I ended up in that space or anything. Just it was just continuing to allow the flow to happen, being willing to look at it and that there was something to do, but not having to this time go in and see, okay, why is this happening and all that stuff. No, it was just get still, just let's be still. So yeah, there's so many different ways we can access that part of ourselves that's gonna have the healing happen. And when it happens here, it happens in the world. It is an act that we provide everyone else around us. That's the power of it.
Well, my battery is running low.
It's always a good one.
Was just gonna say, I think that's good. We should wrap it up. It
Yeah.
was a good flow.
Was.
Yes.
Well, thank you, my friends.
Yeah. Thanks for coming to our party.
Thank you all for being here
We
with
love you.
us.
And shape your own shift, man.
Shifting is part
Be
of the
the shift.
dance.
The end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let the shift hit the fan. Let the shift hit the fan.